Welcome to The Outlet, an OTG production.
Welcome to the NBA Outlet, presented by OTGBasketball.com. Be sure to subscribe to us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and YouTube. I'm your host, Nick Fay. With me tonight, John Aiello. What's up, John?
Hey, what's going on, Nick? First pod in a while. It's been too long.
Yeah, it's been too long and a lot has happened. But tonight, we got special guest, birthday boy, Harris Wichard. What's up, Harris?
Thank you, man. It's great to be back with Off the Glass and doing another podcast with you guys, spend some time with you on my birthday and talking what was pretty much a whirlwind, but an amazing couple weeks in the NBA with free agency news.
Yeah, free agency was crazy. But let's talk about the biggest move in them all. KD going from OKC to Golden State. What's your thoughts, reactions? How do you feel about this?
Man, you know, when I first heard the news, when they, you know, one thing I learned is to never doubt Adrian Wojnarowski. He just, when he first reported back around the All-Star break that, you know, KD was interested, I kind of took it with a grain of salt, but then I was also like, man, this guy doesn't report BS, and everything he reports is pretty credible. And so then when I got that update, that Bleacher Report update saying that he went to Golden State, I was pretty, as an NBA fan, you know, I don't want to sound kind of cheesy or anything like that, but I was kind of heartbroken just because you want to see, it's tough seeing a guy join the best team, but, you know, I think my initial reaction is that maybe KD's, you know, with a foot injury, maybe he's a little worried about his long-term health and he wants to play in the NBA as long as possible. Maybe he's tired of carrying the load, probably a combination of things, but nonetheless, it's a little sad to see it happen. You know, I've come around a little bit. I think it could be good for the NBA, you know, to have that villain, but, you know, I guess we'll see how it plays out.
Yeah, I mean, personally, I was definitely disappointed with Durant going to a team after, you know, you should have beat them in the Western Conference Finals. I just wasn't a fan of the move. I feel like Kevin Durant probably could have been, you know, one of the all-time greats, but this kind of takes any possibility of that happening out. What are your thoughts, Harris?
Well, I was obviously shocked to hear that someone who we consider one of the top three players in the game joining a 73-win team that had just, like you guys said, eliminated him from the playoffs. But at the same time, it isn't that different from LeBron in 2010, and he'll probably still go down as an all-time great. I know the circumstances obviously are a bit different, but at the same time, Dwayne Wade, probably a top 5-7 guy at that time. Bosh was like a top 10 player at that time. And then LeBron James leaving Cleveland to go to Miami. So I draw parallels in that situation. LeBron kind of made it out as the good guy. I know he went back home, but I think if the Thunder had beaten the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals and then the Thunder lost to the Cavs, this would have been received a little bit better. I think it's the fact that they lost to them in the Western Conference Finals that has everybody in an uproar and why people are so critical of him. But I think we always knew he wasn't much of an alpha dog anyway. I mean, to with Westbrook on his team taking 30 shots a game, when you're the best scorer on the planet, which I think Durant is, I think we saw some of this in him, that lack of killer mentality and step on your throat when he kind of defers to Westbrook at times. So I'm not as critical as most people are. I know he wants to win. I know he wants that. That's the most important thing. It's a little strange that he would go there when they're already probably one of the best offenses, if not one of the best offense of all time. But I think we've seen this before in the NBA. It just comes at a very weird time, and he's going to get criticized for it.
Well, what do you think? How long do you think he's going to stay in Golden State? Do you think he'll go back to another team? I mean, I would have probably liked him, like you said, go. I was okay with him leaving OKC. Maybe he went to like Boston or something. Thought that would have been okay. But do you see him leaving Golden State?
Yeah, I think they're gonna. I think he wants to just get a couple titles under his belt. I mean, look, this is one of the better talents we've seen the last 25 years in the association. So I think he put the number one, I mean, listen, this is the number one priority is rings. I mean, I know it's a lot of people look at it as the easy way out. He flipped it and said, listen, getting out of Oklahoma City, getting out of my comfort zone Listen, he's going to get highly criticized. Like you said, he's the villain now. They can't get better than 73. They're not going to win 73 games, I don't think. I think they'll be between 68 and 70. They'll blow some teams out by 40, 50 points probably, and some games will be over at halftime. But it's not going to be easy just to slide him in there and expect this offense to be 77-5 and click on all cylinders. I don't think it's that easy. But I think he's going to stay there short term. What's the deal? How many years was the deal again? He signed a 2-year deal, right?
It's a 1+1, I'm pretty sure. 1+1. I want to say it's 50-something million.
Right. So, I think it's short term. I think they win a title, maybe two. But he's not going to spend the rest of his career there. I don't know what you guys think, but I don't see that happen.
Yeah, I kind of sympathize with you. I'd be surprised if he stayed there for, he's, 20? I think he's 27. Right. I'd be surprised if he stayed there for another 8 to 10 years. I could see him staying for three years, 4 years, get 2 to 3 titles, and then go elsewhere. Mm-hmm. It's just hard to believe. I think it depends. A lot of it depends on Steph Curry's health. But like you mm-hmm. said, it's a different team. They're going to be fine. It's kind of like it's the same thing happened when LeBron went to Miami, where people kind of said, oh, but they still have to fill all this cap. They have no cap. They got to fill it up with all these players. Who's going to want to go there and sign? But the thing is, people don't care. They want to be a part of something special, and that's what they're going. That's how they got Zaza Pachulia for $2 million, and they got Andrews Nemberja. They're getting quality players. Losing Bogut hurts. Losing Azeli hurts. Losing Barnes hurts. But obviously, filling that void with KD is a big improvement. But it's not going to be a smooth transition. Barbosa's gone too. Yeah. So.
And he played a big role in the finals as well. So
yeah, but they have some good young players. It'll be interesting to see how they bring on Kevon Looney and Damian Jones from Vanderbilt. They got that kid. God, he played pretty well in the summer league. I can't remember his name, but they got some good players.
Yeah, no, I agree. I just think that for people to think that they won 73 games, slide in one of the best players in the league. I know it took the Heat some time to get going that first year. Listen, they're the most talented team in the league and the odds-on favorite to win it all, but I see both sides of it. I don't think it's a punk move. I mean, Stephen A. Smith will exaggerate and say, hey, this guy's a punk for doing this. I mean, listen, the guy, he really wants to win a title. He wants to be part of something special. It's different than the Heat thing, but to me it's not that different, and LeBron is going to be considered one of the all-time greats, if not the all-time great player in this game. So I still think Durant has some time, and he'll probably be the leading scorer on that team, in my opinion. I think he's going to slide in to eventually be the offensive leader because he's probably a better offensive player than Curry. Curry he had an amazing offensive season and shot the ball from deep. But if you were to give me a guy in a one-on-one situation, ISO situation, post-up situation, Durant, is probably the most talented offensive player in the league.
Yeah, well, I definitely agree with that. But talking about the Heat, they lost a big name this summer. Dwayne Wade takes his talents back to Chicago, where he's from, the Windy City. What do you guys think about this move?
Man, my initial reaction is it's kind of a head-scratcher for Chicago. I like the move of getting rid of D-Rose. You get Jerian Grant, who looks like he could be a capable NBA player. I mean, he's not going to be a starter, I don't think, but he could be a solid backup point guard. And you get Robin Lopez, who's a solid starting center on a reasonable salary. And then all of a sudden they signed Rondo, which I'm like, all right, he's a big personality. Jimmy Butler's gotten some heat recently for being somewhat of a big personality in the locker room. And then they get D. Wade, who I don't want to say he's a big personality, but it's three guys who were all ball-dominant players, not great three-point shooters. They really only have two good three-point shooters on the roster right now, and that's McDermott and Mirotić. So, I mean, my initial reaction is this team can probably get to the basket, but, how are they going to feel playing off the ball? Wade has some experience being in Miami with LeBron. I mean, he had to get used to it there, but this is totally different. He's not playing with LeBron anymore. He's playing with Rondo and Jimmy Butler, who are two good players. But, I think they have the capabilities to be a really good defensive team if Rondo can play like he did with Boston. But, I just feel like this team is going to struggle offensively because they have no shooting in an era where shooting is so dominant. So.
Yeah, I think what's kind of lost in this and kind of outside the basketball part of it, because you made some good points about some of their inefficiencies and what their holes are. But I'm actually happy for Dwayne Wade. I mean, the guy put in 13 incredible years in Miami, won 3 titles, was a top 5 player for probably about 6 or 7 of those years in the NBA. So I'm happy that he's able to come home. I mean, they probably overpaid for him. And now they bring in Rondo, who you never know what you can get from him, and Butler, who's one of the up-and-coming young stars in the league. So they're going to struggle up front a little bit. Like you said, Mirotić could give you some decent minutes, but losing Noah hurt them, I think. And now Gasol goes to San Antonio. So, I mean, I don't – I think they'll struggle to be a top – I think they could maybe fight their way into the playoffs just on, you know, sheer talent alone with those two guys and Wade and Butler. But if Wade is healthy – I'm happy for him that he'll be able to play in his hometown, and he looked up to Michael, looked up to the Bulls. So if anything else, I'm happy for a guy who's given it his all. He's been banged up in his career, but heck of an NBA career so far for Wade. I'm happy that he gets to go back home.
Yeah, it's nice for Dwayne Wade. You know, the Heat kind of disrespected him. I think the first report was that they offered him $10 million a year annually, and they were focusing a lot on Hassan Whiteside. So I don't think he was very happy about that. For the Bulls, you know, it's a weird combination of players. I think they kind of know that they're not going to contend. So maybe just getting the star name in Dwayne Wade, bringing him back to his hometown, kind of adds excitement to the team. But I'm most likely to see them get into the playoffs and knock down the first round.
Yeah, and Harris, I mean, I agree. I do like Wade going to Chicago for Wade's in terms of Wade himself, not really for the – I don't like it for the Bulls team, but I like Wade going there. Yeah. But, yeah, I mean, it's going to be just such a crazy offseason when you think about all the big names that have moved. And I think about it – I was just thinking to myself the other day, this has got to be – I don't – I mean, obviously, I'm only, you know, 24. I haven't seen that much of the NBA, but this has got to be the craziest NBA season in the history. When you think about the Cavaliers coming down from 3-1, LeBron – you know, wins the title for Cleveland. You think about Kobe retiring, getting 60 points in his last game, Tim Duncan retiring. You think about KD leaving to go to the Warriors. The Warriors had a 73-win season. They lost it on a 3-1. I mean, just so many things happened. It's pretty mind-blowing when you think about it.
Well, you just look at that last night in the regular season. I mean, you have arguably a top 10 player of all time with taking 50 shots in his final game against a team that if the Rockets had lost that night, we're going to try to fight their way into the playoffs. People don't realize that that game didn't mean anything for Utah, but it could have. And then the same night, the Warriors go out and win their 73rd game. Just that night alone, like one of the better final regular season nights, not to mention what happened in the playoffs, what's happened in the offseason. So free agency definitely spices things up. I mean, I know all these guys, these old-timers can say whatever they want about, I wouldn't team up with this guy, I wouldn't team up with this guy. But man, that could add some. It could add some life and years onto your career. It can make your family's lives easier. It can make you some more money. I don't buy some of it. I mean, I think if free agency was around, some of these guys would be moving around. And don't act like Magic Johnson didn't have Hall of Famers. Larry Bird didn't play with Hall of Famers. It bothers me sometimes when these guys are very critical of our new age players, because I think if they had the opportunity, they may have made some of those moves too. I don't know how you guys feel about that, but.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you, Harris. I think they kind of are just hating a little bit on the players, yeah. You know. If they had the opportunity, they might have done the same thing. So I kind of just ignore all the talk.
Yeah, it's a lot.
Yeah, one thing I wanted to add to that, I think you're spot on. But I think a big reason why none of this happened before is I think the NBA was trying to prevent something like this happening was the salary cap. You know, even when MJ was making $33 million or whatever, when he was the highest paid player in the league, the salary cap wasn't $94 million. So it kind of prevented it. I mean, it wasn't even possible because, you know, you weren't going to have guys, you know, even, you know, taking pay cuts. That wasn't going to happen back then for guys to take a pay cut to make like $2 million or, you know, it wasn't going to happen. So now with the salary cap being as high as it is, it allows stuff like that to happen. I mean, I think the NBA is going to make some efforts to try and fix that for the future, but, you know, it's just kind of a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity here where the salary cap was that high and KD was a free agent. And, you know, and then you also think about the Warriors. Steph Curry's on an incredibly cheap deal, you know, so that always helps. You know, normally he'd be making $30 million or whatever, $28 million, but because he signed on a deal where he was kind of coming off injuries and the Warriors took a chance on him, he's only making, what, like $12 million? I think Iguodala's making more money than him, which is pretty hard to believe.
Yeah, and like you said, the cap jumped so much in 1 year, so it makes a huge difference. And, you know, things just fell right for the Warriors in that aspect of being able to sign Durant. In most cases, they would have had to do a lot more player movement. if they really wanted to, probably in the past they would have had to move a guy or two that had more value than the guys they lost.
Exactly.
But on to our next segment. You know, there's so much going on free agency, we can't touch on everything, so we're gonna have a little fun with a word association. I'm gonna name a word and you guys are gonna give me the first team or signing that comes to mind. Start off, winner.
I mean, the obvious winner, I'm not gonna say. I chose to go with something different here. But my winner is Harrison Barnes. You think about it, yeah, he was gonna get matched, but he would have stayed in Golden State. And if assuming KD didn't go there, he was gonna stay. They were gonna match him without question. So it's good for him that he gets to leave. I think he gets a real chance to showcase his skills. Being in Golden State, he was always gonna be the fourth wheel. Actually, probably the fifth wheel when you think about Iguodala. So I think him going to Dallas and signing for $94 million, it's a little steep, in my opinion, of a price range. I guess not considering, you know, what everybody else was getting, but. You know, I think he's in a really good position. He's in a great franchise where he can. He's the guy where he came out of high school. Everybody was in love with him, thought he was gonna be the next Jordan. He kind of just hasn't been that kind of talent, but we'll see what he can do when he has a chance to shine in Dallas.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for Harrison Barnes in Dallas. He kind of, like you said, he gets to showcase his talents and see. We get to see how good Harrison Barnes really is.
My winner. It's the Knicks and Sasha Vujacic for the one. No, I'm just kidding.
oh, God.
I'm going to go with Paul Gasol in San Antonio. I think it's a no-brainer. I think with Duncan retiring and to get a guy who, let's not say he's on the same level as Tim, but understands that offense, and he's just such a perfect fit for their motion. And to slide next to Aldridge and play alongside Leonard. And I think with Ginobili and then Parker coming back with Pop, I think they're going to be right there. They're the second-best team in the West. I don't think it's close. And I think that's a big, big win for them to have him in the high post, and he could pass, and we know what he could do on the block when he touches it. So I think that's a huge win for the San Antonio Spurs to try to keep pace with the Warriors in the West.
Yeah, I thought that was a great move by the Spurs. It kind of went under the radar as well. I'm going to go with the obvious choice as my winner, and that's the Warriors. You know, it's not many times you get one of the top three players in the NBA, maybe even top two. So, you know, getting Kevin Durant kind of puts them at a level that nobody can really compete with if they play at their full potential.
Yeah, I didn't want to pick the Warriors. I assumed one of you guys was going to do that. But Harris, dude, to be honest, Pau Gasol is levels ahead of what Tim Duncan was this year. Tim Duncan had some decent games, but he was basically non-existent in the playoffs besides that last game. I mean, he's a huge upgrade, and that's going to be the Warriors' kryptonite is, you know, post play, playing against big guys. So that's a big move. Their guard play is still going to be questionable because Tony Parker is so old, but you know that adding Pau Gasol is going to put them right up pretty close to Golden State, in my opinion.
I agree. I think that I don't know if you'll see exactly what you saw last year with both teams playing near that 70-win pace, but it wouldn't surprise me because that could be a real shot in the arm for the Spurs. I think people don't realize how good Paul Gasol was, maybe not this year, but the year before. And I think he probably takes real good care of himself. He looks like, you know, he's a true professional. People forget he's a two-time champion with Kobe in L.A. So I think Gasol gives the Spurs a real shot in the arm and keeps them probably a 60, 65-win team plus.
All right, enough talking about the winner. Loser.
My loser is the Washington Wizards for a multitude of reasons, and the first being that there was this talk for the past 2 or 3 years that they were going to get Durant, that Durant was coming home, and they didn't even get a meeting with him. That's, you know, that basically shows you where the Washington Wizards franchise is at this current point. And then another reason is they're basically – I mean, I don't fault them for signing Bradley Beal. I felt like they almost had to do it. Because he has such high upside, but obviously he's been hurt so much that you're paying $130 million or whatever to him that, I mean, it just seems like every other game he's having some random fluke injury that puts him out for 2 weeks. So based off those 2 points, you know, I think they're the loser of the offseason, but, you know, you never know. Bradley Beal could have could turn out to be – I mean, Steph Curry also had a lot of injuries in the beginning of his career, so if Beal turns out to have a healthy career, then – you know, nobody's saying any of this stuff.
Yeah, but like you said, they're kind of forced to re-sign Beal because they couldn't get any other talent. Nobody else was coming to them. They couldn't even get the meeting with Kevin Durant, so they had no other options. You know, they're probably not going to get the most out of John Wall until they get some more talent on that team. Who's your loser, Harris?
Nick, my loser was, obviously, I think we have to touch on the Thunder losing an all-time great player. But that and also the Hawks losing Al Horford stuck out to me. And also, I know your Nets had Alan Crabb lined up for that, and I like him a lot, by the way, for that 40 or 75, and the Trailblazers matched it. So I know that was probably a tough pill to swallow for you. But I think we have to touch on, I mean, it's the obvious one is the Thunder. But, I mean, maybe Westbrook will lead that group. And they could make a run still, but I don't see how we don't touch on, you know, losing an possibly an all-time great, definitely a Hall of Famer, first ballot, and you know, a top three player in the game. And then, you know, I look at the Hawks losing Horford in the middle. I think that's going to hurt them also.
Yeah, no, losing Durant, I think that's an obvious choice. Choice is OKC because to lose Durant, and there's definitely a possibility that they're going to lose Westbrook. Maybe trade him, or lose him free agency next year. Mm-hmm. And like you said, losing Horford definitely is tough. You bring in Dwight, but Horford gives you a different element that Dwight doesn't have.
Yeah, Dwight's gonna kill that. I mean, I don't know how you guys feel. I'm just anti Dwight. I think he's gonna. I mean, maybe in the new situation. I mean, I don't know if you consider them a winner. Maybe it's a draw, but I think Dwight Howard in that situation is gonna go from. And Atlanta was a perennial playoff team, and I think they might take a step back.
Yeah, no, I think the Thunder losing Durant was obviously. I mean. Seemed everybody thought it was pretty much written in the cards that he was going to stay with OKC for at least this year and probably for the rest of his career or whatever. But so that's heartbreaking. But you know, seeing them with Oladipo, I thought that trade with Ibaka was a great move because they get Oladipo on a rookie deal. They get Sabonis, who was a rookie, who was a good young talent. So they got some good young talent. But obviously losing Durant is a big loss. No, do you say anything else about that? But the thing with the Hawks is you're replacing Al Horford with Howard. Two guys, you know, Horford is a great locker room guy, and Horford's been known to be somewhat cancerous in the locker room. Not to mention they lost Jeff Teague, and they're putting in Schroeder, and there's been some rumblings that Schroeder kind of has that similar personality where he can be somewhat cancerous or kind of difficult to deal with. They re-signed Bazemore, which was a good signing, but, you know, that Howard signing is going to be, he just hasn't panned out to be what he wanted to be. I think he expected to be that Hakeem Olajuwon type player. He just doesn't have the skill for that. He's got to just face the facts and be what, you know, and just accept what he is. And that's just a rim runner and a rebounder and a shot blocker. He's not going to be a go-to guy in the post, especially in today's NBA.
Yeah, he needs to accept this role and, you know, let us see, you know, how good Dwight Howard actually is and if he's completely washed up or not. I'm going to go with a surprising team that I thought is a loser, and it's not going to be based off of this season, but they're going to have so much money locked up in these three positions, and that's the Portland Trail Blazers. Harris mentioned how the Nets offered Alan Crabb the offer sheet. So the Blazers decided to match. They also signed Evan Turner for 4 years, $70 million. So Crabb, 4 years, $75 million. Then Dame's maxed out, and next year CJ McCollum's a restricted free agent. So they're either going to probably have to max him out, and then they're going to have max money tied to four players for three positions. So the Blazers kind of put themselves in a rough situation for the future.
I don't think Lillard is better than them, though.
I mean, but how far can they really go? You know, are they ever going to be a contender? You know, they're a good team. They're a great team. But how high is their ceiling with the group they have right now?
Yeah, I like Allen Crabb a lot, but I think – given that if they hadn't just given $70 million to Evan Turner, then I'd say, okay, match Allen Crabb. I think he's a really good player. But giving $150 million roughly to those two guys combined, that's a lot of money. I can't wrap my head around that. I think that was I agree, Nick. I think that was a rough move, and they're really hurting themselves for the future because Lillard's a great player, but you can't bank on – I mean, he's not going to carry you past the Warriors or the Spurs. I mean, he's good, but – it's a questionable move from Portland.
Yeah, they definitely need another all-star player in there, and now they don't really have a cap room. I guess you maybe could trade one of those guys, but it's still a risk. But overpaid. Who got overpaid this summer?
My guy, someone we haven't talked about, Chandler Parsons getting $95 million. He's a good player, without a doubt, but this is a guy who's just – injured basic, kind of like Bradley Beal. It seems like he's injured every other game. Didn't have a great. He had some a decent run last year when he came back from that injury with Dallas. But then basically didn't finish the street season that strong. Memphis. I mean, they got like 200 and whatever. I don't even know what Conley's deal. I know he's getting like 30 something million per year, but they're giving a ton of money to him and a ton of money to Parsons. They still have a ton of money on Gasol. He's a great player, but he's like 31 years old. And he's coming off a foot injury. That's another team that I think is making some questionable moves.
Yeah, I actually was going to go with Parsons as my pick as well. You know, like you said, the injury history, and you're giving this guy so much money, and he doesn't stand the court. And it seems like he's always out towards the end of the season. So not what you want. You know, you want someone who's playing with you in the playoffs and helping you get past these teams. But I don't think Parsons pushes past that level. And then giving Conley – they kind of were forced to give Conley the money because, you know, he was going to get the offer elsewhere if they didn't do it. But rough for the future of Memphis.
Yeah, my I was going to say, obviously, Conley, you know, being the – most lucrative deal in NBA history is kind of ridiculous. He hasn't even been in an All-Star game, I don't think. So that's kind of crazy. I'd say Timothy Mozgov got too much money in L.A. It seemed like they made him a priority, and he didn't play in 9 playoff games. I mean, that's probably the highest paid player ever to not play in 9 playoff games. He got DMP'd 9 times, and they won the championship. So that's kind of crazy. And the other guy is Bismack Biyombo. I mean, I like Biyombo a lot, but what do you get, like $65 million too? I mean,
I think he got 72.
Yeah, these are just average NBA players, guys, and they're making their grandkids might not have to work. So it's just unbelievable. I mean, these guys. I mean, it makes me want to suit up right now and try out for somebody. I mean, it really is just unbelievable some of the money that was going around.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with the guys you said. Mozgov was kind of funny because the Lakers signed him so fast. Like, I don't think that many teams were interested in him, and they offered him that money just like that. Biyombo, I guess, had the crazy playoff run, but it's still a lot of money for a guy who doesn't really have much offensive ability.
Yeah, you think about it. Biyombo, if it weren't for that playoff run, Biyombo would probably made – what was his deal? What did we say his deal was?
I think it's 4 years, like $72 million.
I think it is something like that. Yeah, I think you're right. He would have made – I bet you he would have made, like – $8 million per year, $6 million per year. If it wasn't for that playoff run when Valanciunas got hurt. I mean, I'll have to talk about Orlando in a little bit, so I'll save my breath for them.
Yeah. Another guy, you know, another big that kind of got a lot of money, and I feel like he doesn't really have much to his game other than offensive ability, and that's Ryan Anderson. He got 4 years, $80 million. He doesn't really do much defensively. Rebounding, he's not crazy. I mean, he's a good shooter. He also has health concerns, so Houston kind of invested a lot of money in him and Eric Gordon, both guys who've had trouble staying on the court. So,
yeah. One thing I want to say, though, is I feel like saying that anybody from New Orleans has health concerns is almost – at this point, it's not even fair because the whole team has health concerns. And at that point, I feel like it's got to be the trainers or something in the water in New Orleans. Because you look at Eric Gordon, Anthony Davis, Drew Holiday, Tyreek Evans, they've all had injury issues. But nonetheless, that and Eric Gordon, questionable moves for Houston. That Mike D'Antoni offense is going to be interesting with Clint Capella, the only guy in the middle.
Yeah, that defense is going to be tough to watch. But what move shocked you guys the most, the shock?
Shock to me, we talked about KD to the Warriors. That was a big one. We talked about a lot of these. Evan Turner getting $75 million was a big one. And then Mozgov getting $60-something million or whatever. All those are – pretty much all these guys getting overpaid. It's just I understand there's a lot of money, but I almost feel like these guys, it's kind of like – I feel like it's – you think about a kid who has – you know, they get all this money, their credit card bill or their credit limit has been, like, you know, increased, and so they're, like, just going to the store or whatever and just buying everything they want. And that's what it seems like these NBA guys, NBA owners were doing.
Yeah, definitely a lot of free spending out there.
Was I reading this correctly, or did my man – Boban Marjanovic get $7 million a year? I mean, are you kidding me? Are you serious?
Like, who signed Boban?
Detroit.
Oh, Detroit.
I mean, that's just a joke. I'm sorry. I mean, the guy had played garbage minutes with the Spurs. I mean, that was surprising to see. I mean, the Knicks bringing back Sasha Vujacic, I think he's a waste of space. I didn't want to see that. That was terrible.
Yeah, I don't understand that at all. That was heartbreaking seeing that pop up on my phone.
I was shocked to see Crabb get 75 too. I didn't expect him to get that much.
Ooh, Tyler Johnson, we need to talk about him.
Yeah, he got a lot too.
He got a lot of money, and I mean, he's good, but God, the guy's had like one decent year, and he got injured. I mean, that's a lot. He got like $50 million or something, or $60 million, something crazy. Yeah,
4 years, $50 million, I think.
Evan Fournier got way too much. Evan Fournier got a lot too.
See, I look at Fournier, and that to me, that's one of the more reasonable deals. He's pretty young. He's a great shooter, decent defender, can get to the rim. That to me makes more sense than some of these other deals that we've seen. I really liked him with Orlando.
He's a little small. He's usually like, I don't know how tall he is. He just seems to be like, I know he's a decent defender, but I feel like every time we turn on a Magic game, the shooting guard's scoring 25 a game on them. I don't know. I like him as a player. I just didn't think, what is he making, like $20 million a year or something to that effect?
I think that's got to be, what, like $17 million per year?
Yeah, probably something like
something
that.
Something like that. Yeah, that's a little bit much. Yeah, like you said, he's a nice player, but – you know, what did Mahimi – didn't Mahimi make some good money too?
Mahimi made a lot of money, yeah. Washington actually signed him.
And, like, he's going to be a backup to Gortat.
I'm like, what is Washington doing? I mean, it's not like Gortat is a free agent after this year. He's signed for, like, 3 more years.
And he's done well with John Wall, so.
But, yeah, I mean, I don't understand.
My shock move, though, we talked about a little bit. I was shocked Dwayne Wade left Miami. Mm. I did not think he was leaving. You know, I thought it was just like a lot of media that, you know, that he possibly was leaving. And then next thing you know, he's signing with Chicago. That was kind of crazy. I expected him to probably play his whole career there.
Yeah. You know, every year it seems like D-Wade, it's like, oh, D-Wade wants more money, blah, blah, blah. And then the Heat end up coughing up the dough and he stays. But this year I think he was really offended by the original offer they gave him. And I think they ended up offering him $20 million, right?
Yeah, they did. They offered him.
If they would have offered him $18 million, $17 million off the bat, I think he would have stayed. But because they lowballed him with that like $10 million offer, and D-Wade's seen all this money that like Evan Turner's getting, that Mozgov's getting, he was pretty offended. And I don't think he wanted, you know, I think he really wanted to stick it to Pat Riley. It's unfortunate the Knicks had their cap filled up, because I think he would have loved to go to New York. You know, Phil Jackson and Riley had that notable feud.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know how you guys felt, but I thought Duncan was going to come back for another year, so that was kind of shocking to see also.
Yeah, I know. I heard the rumblings that he possibly would retire. I didn't really expect. I thought maybe one more year off the bench would have been fine for him, but, well, you know, it's kind of – he needed to get – go ahead.
Well, with San Antonio, you always think, like, everyone's going to count him out, and they always give you that one more run. So it's almost like you never thought these guys would die. It's almost like they have this – you know, immortal feel to them, that so it's just the, whatever they're drinking over there keeps them young. And Tim Duncan, outside of that playoff push last year, was looking relatively young. So it's just, I know eventually that run's going to come to an end, but maybe not with Aldridge and Leonard there. But people don't realize how impressive that run of 50 wins or more has been. I think since Popovich's second season, I think it's almost what the streak is at, something like 16 or 17 years in a row of 50 straight wins. I mean, the Knicks have done that once in the last 17 years, so.
Yeah, don't remind me.
Yeah, so to think about that every year is unbelievable consistency, and hats off to an amazing Hall of Fame career, and a guy who's done it the right way, out of the media spotlight, doesn't have to dress flashy, not a flashy guy, black and white, come do my job, bring my lunchbox, and he's a great role model for younger players.
Yeah, a great career for Tim Duncan. Who got the steal at NBA free agency?
Well, I had to shout out my Knicks in one move, and so my steal is getting Brandon Jennings for $5 million. Oh, I feel like, I mean, Jennings, yeah, I get he's coming off an Achilles tear, but he's still pretty young. I think he's 27. I mean, he didn't have a great year with Orlando or Detroit, but like I said, he was coming off an Achilles tear. I mean, he was looking really good with Detroit a couple years ago before he got hurt. And I think $5 million to take a chance on a guy like that, I think, is a really good move. He really wants to be in the spotlight. I think he wants to prove that he can be a starting point guard in the NBA. And I think being a backup in New York is a great chance for him to shine.
Yeah, I was definitely surprised he only got $5 million. Like, you know, with all the money getting thrown around, you'd think that he'd get some more money. and maybe an opportunity to play more, like on a starting role possibly, but that was a good steal for the Knicks. And like you said, he was playing great before the Achilles injury, and it gives you good insurance if Derrick Rose possibly gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I knew they were going to look at him, but I figured once all the cap space, because this is after they signed Noah and they signed Courtney Lee, they had nothing. I was really surprised that they got him for that much, but that's a good fit for him.
Does anybody remember Brandon Jennings actually played a year in Italy before starting his NBA career? So coming in that 2009 draft, I believe that was the year the Knicks took Jordan Hill, and then
Yeah.
Curry was the pick before. But a lot of people wanted the Knicks to take Brandon Jennings in the 2009 NBA draft, and he's had some mediocre years, as we know, but he averaged what, 15? I'm looking at his stats now, 15, 16, 19, 17, 15, and 15. The last 3 years, he's been 7 or under, but he had a 55-point game in his rookie year. He's not old. You know, he's only, what, 20, you know, 6 maybe? So he's very young. And I think off the bench, he's a guy that creates a lot of energy. He's going to get the crowd involved. You have firepower offensively with Rose, Melo, and Porzingis. So I'd definitely have to agree with you. Getting him for $5 million to have some punch. He's going to have some 30-point nights to get some punch off that bench. And when he's healthy, I won't go as far as saying he's the truth, but he could fill it up.
Yeah, I mean, he could. I think off the bat, you gotta include him in your thing. If you were to say top five candidates for sixth man of the year, I think he's got to be up there just based off who the Knicks have on their bench, which is basically nobody. I think he's gonna be the go-to scorer off the bench. I think
Right.
if you were to pick five guys, he would be up there.
Yeah, he'll definitely have an opportunity this year, like you said. They don't have much on their bench, and he can light it up. He could probably win them a few games on his own if he gets hot and he stays healthy. You know, what about you, Harris?
The
Who's your steal?
steal of free agency, is it LeBron James informing the Cavs you will sign with them or no?
I mean,
LeBron coming back.
I don't think anybody expected him to leave after they won.
That's true. I like what he said. I mean, Jordan Hill, 2 year, $8 million. I think he's a decent player. I mean, I just look at the low value ones. I mean, I don't know if you could even consider some of the things a steal just because how much money everyone was getting paid. I mean, you look up and down, it's like, I mean, some of these contracts, as we said, are just unrealistic and out of control. I mean, if Rondo gives you what we could expect, if he turns back the clock, I mean, not even just free agency, if Derrick Rose plays 65 or 70 games. I mean, I'm not just saying this because we're in New York and John's a big Knicks fan and I like the Knicks, obviously. But I mean, if Derrick Rose is healthy and Joakim Noah is healthy, I know there's some serious pessimists around New York, but this is a top four team in the East. If they're both those guys are healthy, I truly believe that. I think it's going to take tremendous pressure off Carmelo, as I said before. Porzingis in his second season coming off that, you know, hitting the rookie wall a little bit. And now Jennings coming off the bench, and you know I know they're not very deep, but you know I like Lance Thomas giving you 15 minutes a game. So if those guys are healthy, to me this is like a 47 to 49 win team that could make some noise in the Eastern Conference. So Derrick Rose returns to even 70%, 75% of what he was. This is going to be a they're going to be a serious threat in the Eastern Conference.
I'm probably not as high in the Knicks as Harris is, but I definitely think they'll make the playoffs. It's probably unlikely to expect Noah and Rose to stay healthy for a majority of the season. So, but for me, you know, John showed some love to the Knicks. I guess I'll show some love to the Nets. I was pretty happy about getting out of Jeremy Lin for 3 years, $36 million. When you
Oh boy,
consider
insanity's back in New York.
Austin Rivers got 3 years, $35 million. So the Nets got their starting point guard for $12 million a year on a 3 year deal. So it's pretty nice with the cap going up next year.
Yeah, it's just amazing that in 2012, when he was on the bench and he was sleeping on Landry Fields' couch, and now on Off the Glass podcast in 2016 in July, he's a steal at $12 million a year. It's kind of crazy how that can happen.
I can't show any love to Jeremy Lin for his recent hairstyle. Have you seen his cornrows? Oh yeah, those are pretty awful.
Not very good.
He's got some interesting choices with his hair, but hopefully he comes to play this year. Same
Right.
coach, Lin Sanity, an assistant with the Nets, Kenny
Right.
Atkinson. So.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was talking to my friend about his hair, and my friend goes, Well, it's better than the Hawaiian punch hair he had last season. The Hawaiian punch guy with his hair straight up and Lim was rocking that. Oh, man.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. But on to the next one, Overstock. Which team overstocked at a position?
This one, a guy we haven't talked about, and I think it's because it's been so recent, is Miles Plumlee. I think he got like 4 years, $52 million, or 3 years, $52 million. He got a ton of money, and then obviously Milwaukee's trying to deal Greg Monroe. Which apparently there's no market for him. So I think you look at those two guys, they gave a lot of money to John Henson last year. I'm not entirely sure what that team is doing. I mean, you look at the way the league is going, it seems like when you look at a team like this, and you know, there's been some other teams we've talked about where, like, you know, kind of like Washington, where they're putting a lot of money into big men, but the league isn't going that way. So I'm kind of confused as to what they're doing. They have too many bigs who can't shoot from the outside. And then I think another team we should talk about is Orlando, because they have Serge Ibaka, who they got in trade. They got Vucevic, and then they also have Biombo. Ibaka can spread the floor, but what are you going to do? Are you going to play both those guys, you know, Biombo and Vucevic at the same time? I had heard they're going to try and play all three together, which seems mind-boggling. I mean, are they going to put Ibaka at the three? And then, you know, I mean, I just don't understand what the heck they would do with that. But it just – that move of getting Biombo was kind of mind-boggling. I think he's a good player, but, I mean, I'm not sure what they're doing.
And then you have to consider, you know, Aaron Gordon, I'm going to say until his shooting improves, he's mostly going to play at the right position.
Yeah, so, what's going to happen to Eric Gordon now, you know?
Exactly. So they definitely – I mean, I think that they're probably going to try to make a move or something, because they're going to realize that they have all this money invested in these positions that they can't even play all these guys together.
Yeah, we touched on the Wizards also. I mean, to have Gortat there and then sign – who would you say they signed at the backup center position?
Mahimi.
Right, Mahimi, which yeah. – No, it doesn't really make much sense. And then the other one we spoke about with the I think the Heat also. I mean, who is the Heat's three right now? Are they going to put Jimmy Butler at the three? I think he's a true two. Wade's a true two. I think they're overcrowded at the backcourt also. I mean, I think they struggle. I mean, where are they going to spread those minutes out? I think it's kind of tough to ask Jimmy Butler. I mean, he's a good defender and he could guard some threes, but I think they're going to struggle a little bit with their size from one through three.
Yeah, that's an interesting point, too. And you know, consider that there's only one ball, and all three of those guys like to have a ball, so that could definitely hurt the Bulls.
Yeah, I mean, the Bulls, I'm assuming their starting lineup is going to be Rondo, Wade, and Butler, because I don't think – I mean, obviously Butler and Wade aren't coming off the bench, and I don't think Rondo wants to come off the bench. Not to mention the Bulls don't really have a capable backup point guard, or I guess a capable starting point guard other than Rondo. I mean, I'm assuming they'll have to start Mirotić. To go along with Lopez. They still have Taj Gibson, I think, under one more year. And they'll have McDermott off the bench. But, yeah, that starting lineup's going to be really questionable. A lot of guys who just can't – overstock in the sense that they just have a lot of guys that can't shoot the ball, and they all happen to play the same position.
Yep. I even heard some rumors that Bobby Portis could possibly start for the Bulls. So it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But my pick for the overstock was Orlando, too. You know, you have those guys and you can't play them all. You're investing all that money. It just doesn't make much sense. I understand Frank Vogel wants to bring guys in that fits his system. So he got Biombo, his rim protector, Serge Ibaka, another rim protector. So, I mean, they're going to be a better defensive team, but you can't play Vucevic and Biombo at the same time.
Yep, I agree.
Leftovers, what's the best remaining leftover free agent?
Ooh, that's a good – honestly, I don't know of many – I mean, I'd have to go with J.R. Smith. I don't know if anybody – I mean, well, obviously LeBron is still technically a free agent, but I'm not going to mention him. I would say J.R. Smith. I mean, it seems like there's a legit chance he could leave Cleveland. He wants like $15 million, and I don't know if Cleveland's going to cough up that kind of money to him. You know, there's some other decent guys out there, but I would probably say J.R. Smith.
Yeah, J.R. is definitely still a free agent. I don't know if Cleveland wants to play him that $15 million, but they probably have to because – unless they want to start Shump at the two, which I don't think they want to do. So I think they match. Harris, who's your best remaining free agent?
I mean, I would say Jared too. I'm trying to look and think of guys that haven't been locked up yet.
We got Lance Stevenson, Deion Waiters, Ty Lawson.
I think didn't Raiders re-sign with the Thunder?
No, the Thunder actually rescinded his qualifying offer, making him an unrestricted free agent.
Okay. Yeah, they're saying he's going to probably go to Sacramento, which would be hilarious. And just keep adding to the circus that is Sacramento.
Yeah.
I think I'm not high on Waiters, not high on J.R. Smith. I think the money guys, have been signed. I think if you look at leftovers and impact guys, are there really any impact leftover guys left? I don't know.
Yeah, maybe some good bench guys would be somebody like a David Lee off your bench or Raymond Felton, Alan Anderson.
Oh, Raymond Felton. Don't mention that name here.
But that wraps it up for the NBA LF Free Agency Edition. Thank you, guys. Harris, welcome back, and happy birthday.
Thank you.
Yeah, happy birthday, Harris.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
What do you got planned for tonight, man? Anything fun?
Nothing crazy. I mean, more of the weekend stuff. Go out on Friday, and in a couple weeks, I'm doing a trip down to Myrtle Beach. So I'm laying low with family tonight and some friends tomorrow, and in a couple weeks, heading down south. So it should be fun.
Awesome, man.
Yep. All right. That's cool. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Catch you next time.